This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show, coming to you live on Web Radio Network.
This is supposed to be Mercedes' show, but for some reason, she's muted and we're working on it. Mercedes is having issues. She has to unmute her mic, apparently.
Hey, can you hear
me? There she is. Yes. Uh-huh. Hi, Mercedes. I'll let you take over your show.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
It's one of those nights, apparently.
Apparently so, and thank goodness, because you have your own show on this network, so you're the perfect person to actually take over for me. Yay! Okay, well, I will do this. Let's see. Dun, 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 dun. Hey, everyone. Hi. Welcome to the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show, and obviously, we have Becky now as co-host. And so I just want to say thank you all for listening and being here. And I do have this amazing, wonderful guest that you possibly have already, you know, learned about through this network, because she has a show on here called Everything Under the Moon. And that's not the only thing that she does, but I'll just mention that right now. So we have a round of applause for Becky McGiddy. Guyson. I always say Guyson.
You know, that's okay. So many people get my last name wrong. I'm so used to it by now.
Well, at least I got the McGiddy part right. Got it wrong.
You're trying.
it's a cute name. It's just a cute name. Oh. I love that name. So anyway, thank you so much and for being here, and thank you for doing the intro for me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Somehow you just got muted. It happens.
I don't know how that happened, but I'm in this room with the prankster spirit, so it could be something like that, because it wasn't muted just a minute before.
Right.
That yeah. Not what happened. But anyway, so Tucson Ghost Society, that is the one other piece of the puzzle that I didn't mention just a second ago, but you are the owner and, you know, the person that runs the show at the Tucson Ghost Society. Would you like to talk about this? Would you like to talk about your business with me tonight?
No. Yeah. I'm like, I'm trying to take a break now.
I know, I've been hearing that, but it doesn't look like it's happening.
There's a lot actually going on right now, and it's just been one thing after another, and there's a lot that is going to be changing, and there's a lot coming up, but one of the things about Tucson Ghost Society is the fact that I have been the founder. I've been the lead investigator. I basically have done everything for the team for the past 10 years. And I finally told my team, hey, look, you all need to step up and run it for a bit. You guys need to find locations. You guys need to take care of this and that. And I'm taking a break. I'm still going to investigate because I love investigating. I can't not investigate. That's not me. But I need to stop doing every little detail behind the scenes. It's like really getting stressful on me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I have the company which does the ghost hunts, the special events. We used to do tours, but I'm stopping the tours. So between having to run the company, run the team, and still, you know, having a family to raise, it's been nonstop for me for 10 years. And I've come to a decision that I am separating the company and the team because it's all been kind of like balled up into one. And we've run everything under basically, you know, one identity. And one of the things that is getting done that I can talk about because we have officially started this is Tucson Ghost Society is actually going to become Tucson Ghost Society, Inc. And we're our own identity with nonprofit. So we're actually going to, you know, get all the legal like 501k stuff. So we're actually going to be a legal identity by itself now. So that's yeah, that's one of the changes to Tucson Ghost Society that I'm really excited about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so we're still fully insured and everything. So
I'm like trying to absorb what you just said because I'm like, wow, that's big. I mean, all of this is very big because I've known you quite a while. It seems like a while now, but wow, Becky, that's a lot.
Yeah. Huh. So we're going to literally be our own identity. We're going to have a nonprofit status. We're still fully insured. That's the only thing that's staying under the company because the company gets fully insured. And then the company is going to be its own identity. And we're not going to do the ghost tours anymore because those stressed me out so bad. And we're just going to do ghost hunts and special events. And I'm hoping within a week or two to have a huge announcement coming up. But I can't say it now because things aren't signed and I don't like to curse myself. I can tell you off air, but I can't say it on air right now.
Okay. No, I understand. I mean, I'm like so much about like, let's just talk about, let's just say, and I know we can't always do that. Well, one thing I want to say is, okay, so you're saying a ghost hunt. So what does a ghost hunt mean?
It's called the Tucson Ghost Experience. And unfortunately, this is only on Monday nights. And right now I only have one set up because of the fact that I'm doing so much behind the scenes right now. But we go to LACO, which is downtown, and we take out like ghost hunting equipment, like the REM pod, K2s, things like that. We put them throughout the building and then throughout the courtyard. And we try to actually communicate with the spirits. Some nights the equipment's going crazy. You see shadows, you see, you know, other things, you hear knocks. Other nights they're like, nope, we're going to be quiet. We don't want to do anything. But it's a lot of fun. The spirits at LACO, they're like the sweetest spirits. I swear. They love my kids. My two daughters, they will literally like turn on flashlights for them when they complain it's dark and things like that. So the spirits love my kids there.
Aww.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So that is a lot different than the tour, which I know, and I, you know, I'm really sorry that was so difficult, but with that pandemic, all it seems like from what I could read or hear about a lot of people that, you know, had tours and things like that, not just in our area, but in other areas, it became very difficult to even, you know, find people to work like is what a lot of times that happened with you.
Yes.
So,
yes. It was very stressful. A lot of people just don't want to work nowadays. And I don't get it, but they just don't want to work. And it seems like every single business right now is having problems getting people hired. But for a small little company like mine, where I can't guarantee things, yeah, trying to find employees is just, it's non-existent. And I just don't have the time or the passion to run them myself. So that's one thing that I decided that is going bye-bye. And well, I'm not sure if I'm going to sell them or if I'm going to keep them for larger crowds or if I'm going to look into virtual tours. I'm not really sure right now.
Okay. Well, I mean, at least you've made the decision and now you can, you know, just move forward with the new, obviously, many prospects coming your way.
I'm hoping. Keeping fingers crossed that things go better. I have some new partners. New people I'm working with. So I'm hoping it all comes together.
Yay, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really just, everyone's like, I've met some new people, and I guess I can bring them up. But there's a shop called Four of Wands, and then there's the tattoo shop called Spark Project. And then there's a bookshop called Nexus Occult. And I'm working with them on some things, and the owners of those, Natalie, Johnny, and Andrew, I have trust issues. I will admit that. I've talked about that. But they have all been very supportive of me. They want to put me out there. They want to see me grow. They want to see me do all this stuff. And I really do feel supported by them. It's just my little trust issues and that little voice in the back of my head that worries me still.
No, I understand. Yeah. Well, that's great though. I mean, that's three of them trying different companies, three different places. Showing you support. So I say yay to
Yeah,
that.
I'm really happy. It's just, and if I know you follow me on Facebook, and I've been doing a lot of soul searching, and I've come to realize I do have trust issues. And that's something I just got to get over, and I've got to put myself out there and just have faith that there are people that do support me and do want to see the best for me. So that's
Oh,
hard
yeah.
for me.
Well, yeah, I think well, how could I mean, really, how could anyone not like you? I think you're just a genuine person, and
No.
people always they're all, always gonna time just keeps ticking by now, but I keep saying, you're the only team I've ever allowed out here, and I think, well, how many years it's been? Like, it's been 2 years now,
Yeah, I think it
and
has been 2 years. Yeah.
yeah, it has, and so. But I'm like, where? I mean, it's not that I really didn't want to have others come out. It's just I really prefer you and I trust you. And you always get the evidence and you always have such a great, respect for everything here and you have integrity. And so you, to me, you're like the top one. I don't know of any researched anybody else that. That I feel is comfortable with coming out here to our property. And so I'm sure that you're planning on that's adding, I think I just lost my track of my track of mind with that. But now that I think about that, I'm like, but so I'm sure that that's one of the things that you'll continue to do is do investigations, of course.
Yes. Oh, yes. Definitely. And I want to continue researching your property, because every time we go out there, we get different responses.
Yeah.
Sadly, the last time they wanted us to leave, though,
I know.
they were like, "We don't want to talk tonight. Get out."
I was laughing when you were talking about the place in the, in downtown that, they sometimes they just don't want to talk to you. And that's what happened here the last time you had,
Yep.
I believe you even caught them saying something. Oh, you something about playing cards too. So you have to
Yes.
bring cards next time.
Yeah, the two major things we had the last time we were out there was we had a deck of cards out, and I said, "Do you want to play cards?" And they had a very clear yes. And then the other thing was basically it got really, really quiet, because we were hearing little things here and there, but it
Yeah.
got really, really quiet. And so we're like, okay, if you guys want us to leave, just do a really loud knock and we'll leave. And we heard the loudest freaking bang of the night. And we were like, okay, we're offended, but we're leaving.
That, and it's very cool. I mean, normally, like right now, I've been in here, there's no bangs. I mean, like, yeah, I guess every so often, but not like a bang,
Yeah.
not. It's very
Oh,
quiet,
it
except
was.
when Eli's barking or something like that.
So it was like really loud because the other two members were like, seriously? And I'm like, that means we gotta go. And they're like, okay. I mean, and because all the other knocks we were hearing were really light. But when I said, if you want us to go, you need to, make a loud knock sound. And that was the loudest bang of the night. And we were like, okay, apparently they don't want to talk tonight.
And so, and look what you did. You didn't stay. You didn't try to cause aggravation to them. You just respected them. And I think that's why, when you come out here every time, there is an evidence. They didn't have to actually do anything, but they
Right.
do. And it, you know, I must say it's the energy here is so, it's just so different since we met Bill Bean. And I mean, the only thing I can attribute to it all is that, because before there was just no, I mean, I don't know how many people you know, had come out here so to help us, and including myself trying all the time. So I really feel like meeting you and Bill Bean was just such a blessing for us. And so it's interesting. I was thinking, I know you and I had kind of talked to, it might even been yesterday, about coming back out here. So yes, I definitely want you to come back out and set a time to where we can do that. And one thing is I'm really excited about is this documentary. So I definitely, you are a big part of the documentary that I'm creating, that you're going to be a big featured part of that, because it's, you know, it's about the ghosts, it's about
Right.
the hauntings. And you're the one person, you and your team are the one person that has, you know, other than the Dead Files, but that was a kind of a, your investigation brought us, you know, the evidence, like the real concrete evidence that, then I will have that in the documentary. And Becky, I gotta say, it's really getting like, I've got an archaeologist of the Pueblo archaeology, which is a big one that's been all through this land. He's gonna be on it, and there's all kinds of, we've got this incredible narrator, Brent Thomas from Paranormal Portal. He loves what I've sent him so far, and he wants to, and he's narrated, he wants to do the narration, and he's already done three really amazing films that have been documentaries. So I think it was unbelievable, but he's going to be a great add-on. So pretty much I think I've got everybody, you know, ready. So I just want you to know that, you know, you're definitely going to be a big part of it. And when we do, I want to have you meet again where you come back out here, so I could film you when you do come out here. We can do a little bit of more filming for it, because I need to have you come out here anyway. So
Well, there we go. It works out perfectly.
yeah, it'll be great. That was so perfect. Spirit was nudging that yesterday or the day before, whenever that was, when I said, yeah, let's do it. So one thing I wanted to also bring up, I usually like to say something at some point in the show to talk about the other shows that are on this network, on web radio network, springing off of Spreaker. Springing, did I say springing? Stream off of Spreaker. So your show is actually one of those shows. And so now that I've actually got you here, could you talk a little bit about your podcast here on this network?
Sure. It's called Everything Under the Moon, and it airs on Thursday nights. Right now, I'm doing roughly like every other week. I don't know if I'm going to go weekly yet or not. That's something else that's in discussion. But it's called Everything Under the Moon. It's paranormal based, but basically, we get off subject a lot. I even have random questions I can ask people if we run out of things to talk about. But lately, I haven't been doing that. I used to do a different podcast, and that podcast, I would always get off subject like all the time. And I felt like I never really talked about the paranormal at all. So I had to kind of, when I decided to stop that podcast and come back with a new one, I was like, well, I want something to where I can still talk about the paranormal, but they're not expecting it all to be paranormal, because I let people down that way.
Right.
So I did the Everything Under the Moon, so I can talk about other things and people aren't like, this isn't paranormal. No, it's both. I talk about everything under the moon and paranormal, because of the fact that I can never stay on one subject. I'm not really good at that. They'll say something and I'll lead off with that and lead to something completely different. So that's how I am.
I think you like to talk about Disneyland a lot.
Oh, I talk about Disney all the time. In fact, right now, one of the reasons why, when you asked me to be on the show, I was like, are we doing video or audio? And when you said just audio, I'm like, good. I changed into my PJs and I'm actually in my Stitch Disney PJs right
That's great. That's so funny. Yeah, I'm just, yeah. So what's awesome about the podcast is that it is audio, and it makes it a lot easier. I do enjoy the video production aspect. So this week I had a lot of that work. So what we'll do is I'll create a video, but it'll just be using a promo pic, and then we'll create the audio so that it will be on YouTube too. So we can do that. I'm just staying in your pajamas.
They're really cute. They have Stitch and the little Scrump.
Oh my gosh.
I think pretty much all my PJs, except for like one pair, is Disney. And the one pair that's not Disney is Ghostbusters.
Oh. I love Ghostbusters. Oh my gosh. You know, that's one thing is why, originally I had the unveiling mystery, but there's just so many things, like you said, to talk about. And unveiling mystery, I always felt like, well, I can't talk about, you know, this or that. I can't, because I like to talk about fasting and health and all the other things I do. And so it's like, luckily, you know, Teresa Spike said, you know, it's best just to have one, because I like, well, we could do this show and that show. She was just best to have one show. You're right. Let's just do it that way. And I remember one time when the Dead Files was here, and this is what's so funny. It's like when they were here, they were like, Mercedes, 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 Mercedes is going to be in this. You know, they just kept talking to me and kept doing stuff. And Joe goes, I guess this is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict show. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Joe. Yeah, one day. At that time, there was something going on with him that day, because I don't know why he would have said that, but we were definitely being affected by the unwanted energies when they came out here to do that. So that was like one of those comments I've never been able to quite get out of my head. But so I'm like, dude, like, well, I did call them in. This is so, so funny. But now I'm like, yeah, Joe, I got the Mercedes Lucky Benedict show now.
See, it was perfect.
I know, it was so funny. You know, it's like, oh my god,
it all works out.
So one question I wanted to kind of go off a little bit of something I thought would be very interesting is, can you tell the audience, what is the most scariest haunt or experience you've ever had in your life? I mean, you are a paranormal expert investigator.
No one's an expert, but
you're an expert. I put that in the picture. You are an expert. Can you remember one or two of that were really, really scary to you?
You know, in all honesty, I don't like to say I get scared. It shocks me. And then after it's done, I'm like, that was cool. The one thing that comes to mind that made me jump and curse, and I ended up having to apologize to the spirits, was I was actually in Fox Theater. And it was after one of our public events. And I had noticed that they were drawing their energy from the lights, because the lights kept dimming, going brighter, dimming. So I could tell that they were drawing energy that night. And so after the public left, I asked two of the team members that were helping me that night, I said, let's kind of stay behind for a few and see what we can get, because I have a feeling they want to talk. And so we each sat in different sections of the theater. And of course, I'm the one that's talking. And I made the comment to the spirits, you know, you can talk to us, you can touch us, anything like that. And you have to be careful what you say, because they will respond to what you tell them they can do. And a few seconds after I was done speaking, behind me, I could feel my shirt get like tugged on. It almost felt like someone was trying to tear my shirt off. And okay. I jumped up and I screamed a four-letter word that starts with F.
Oh.
And I was like, what the? And my team members looked at me and they were like, what happened? And I'm like, I got tugged on the hardest I've ever been tugged on before. And I went to each of them and I demonstrated how hard I got tugged on. And they're like, seriously? And I'm like, yes. And then after it happened, I was like, okay, that was really cool. And I'm like, I do apologize for cursing. But I'm like, but you have to understand, I can't see you. So when something like that happens, it shocks me. I don't know what's going to happen. But I didn't go running out of the building, screaming, anything like that. But, you know, I think that's more what it is. It shocks me. But then I'm like, okay, that was cool. After I like catch my breath and everything. The only time I actually get scared is if I see bugs or, you know, something like that. I'll run for a spider. I hate spiders. I hate bugs.
I mean, I know that you definitely weren't, you know, you just have that ability to not, you didn't show any fear out here. And I know a lot of people, I mean, I know there were times I was definitely fearing out here. I think I could see that in you, whether you'd be like, oh, okay, hey.
Yeah.
But you know, you're lucky, I mean, because a lot of them, they'll trip you, they'll push you, they'll throw you, you know. So, I mean, there are some really, really bad ones out there. Have you ever had the experience where you feel as if you, it's almost like, if you were in bed asleep or going to sleep and all of a sudden you feel like you can't move or rise up or anything. It's almost like you're being held in that. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I've actually had that happen before.
Yeah.
My state of mind, though, when that had happened, I literally told myself, this is not real, this is not happening, and I was able to get myself out of it. I don't know. I honestly think my state of mind when it comes to the paranormal, I think protects me a lot, to be honest with you. And I've also been told that I have like this huge like guardian, I don't want to say angel, but this guardian that is like very monstrous and can scare other things away, I guess. And I know I've been very lucky. So I know I have something watching over me. But my state of mind when it comes to the paranormal is I don't fear it. I don't think I've ever really feared it. Whenever something happens to me, like I said, it shocks me and it blows my mind. But then I'm like, okay, that was cool. I had that happen. But I don't go in to any place thinking about demons or anything like that. I tell myself, you know, that's not possible. That's not going to happen. And trust me, I have been scratched. I have been made to feel sick. I have, you know, at your house, something happened to me where I had to leave. I just all of a sudden got like this like pain and short of breath and I had to leave and it just came out of nowhere. I don't look at it as bad though. I don't know why. I just don't. I just look at it as their way of communicating. And so it never scares me. It never makes me leave. There's only one time in my life that I walked out of someplace. And it wasn't an investigation. It was a public tour. And the only reason I walked out was because I could tell the spirit was very upset at the people taking the tour because the people taking the tour were drunk and antagonizing it and being very rude. And I could tell that the spirit was getting very frustrated. I could feel it. And I told my husband, I said, we need to leave now because the spirit is not very happy. And I'm going to be the one that gets the, you know, my ass kicked because of the fact that I'm the one that can tell it's not happy. I'm the one that can sense it. I'm like, so I need to leave because I'm sensing this stuff. And if I don't, I'm going to be the one like getting the blunt of it all, so to say.
So you might be the one that picks up the pain or picks up the emotions or the physical aspects of it. But yeah. You know what? I have a feeling that I believe it's actually possible for the energy radiating off of them and their emotional or vibrational energy. I have a feeling that sometimes there it's not even an intentional, like I'm gonna zap you. It's just they're streaming through that when you're in a room with them and they're in that state, then you're going to be absorbing that if you're an open, spirit being vessel, like, an intuitive empath.
Oh, definitely. And I've been told so many times that I am a medium and I just don't embrace it. And I know I am, I just don't embrace it. Like I openly admit I don't embrace it. But yeah, I can definitely sense them. I know if a place is haunted just by walking into it. I do know these things. So
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I think you're just an incredible investigator. And I will say to anybody that's listening, if you're in our location or any location, you can talk to them on the phone and, even guide people from clear across the country. I assume if they have issues and needed to speak to somebody, is that something that you do for people where you can kind of help them, even if they're not in our neighborhood or our location?
I prefer to do things in person. Over the phone, my ability is not like that great to be able to sense things over the phone. If I go in person, I definitely can sense things. I can definitely cleanse things, which surprises me. Whenever I've done cleansings, I seem to do the job. But yeah, I would prefer in person. But if they have like general questions or if they need help finding someone, yeah, I could help them do things like that.
Well, that's good. I think that's good to know. And tell us, tell the listening audience your website and information that, they could contact you from.
Well, right now, and this is just for the next couple months, it's TucsonGhostTour.com. That is going to be changing though. Tucson Ghost Society will have its own website and Tucson Ghost Company will have its own website. So until those get up and running, the best place to find us is probably through Facebook. We have the Tucson Ghost Society page and the Tucson Ghost Company page. Or me personally, I'm all over social media, usually under the Becky McKitty Guideson. Or if you need to email us, it's TucsonGhostCO@hotmail.com.
See, I think there's a lot going on there, and I think Facebook's a great way to see what you guys are doing. That's always my go-to for what you're doing, of course, since when I started to find you.
Yeah, Facebook is the one I keep most updated right now, so.
And I'll just say to whoever's listening, when they first came out, the very first time, it was like, wow, what do they have? You have all this equipment. It was like our whole living room was like a central station, It was like a ghost central station, and that was really amazing. And all the different locations and all the equipment you had outside and in the other rooms, it was neat to see how much stuff you had to do your work with.
We try.
Hey, what is your favorite? Do you like that one piece of equipment that the people look the ghosts can be like a little lines, so they're little
Oh,
lines
the
that walk?
stick figures? Yeah, we
Yeah.
actually have that. I don't think I've ever brought that to your house. But we
No.
do have that. I can
Oh
bring it next time.
yeah. I think that is I'll never forget seeing that for the first time on Ghost Adventures.
Yeah, we actually do have that. So I can bring it the next time. The only problem with that is I have to plug everything in, so I can't take that to locations where I'm not going to have areas to plug it in. But because I don't have a portable one, I have to use my laptop.
Wow.
But yeah, it's cool. Like everything else and every piece of equipment, it has its upsides and its downsides. And we always study any equipment we use. So we like break it out and we figure, what can set it off besides paranormal. This way we know when we go on investigations, okay, it did that because of that. So we're not calling something paranormal when it's not.
Have you had good experience with that particular machine or that?
Yeah, I had one investigation. I remember that I was talking to the spirit and I was standing in front of it so you could see my stick figure. And I said, "Why don't you come up and hold my hand?" And as I'm saying that, my hand was getting colder. And I made the comment, I said, "My hand's getting colder." And the person watching it goes, "You have a stick figure right next to you."
Wow.
Like, seriously? And they're like, "Yeah, and it's holding your hand." And I was like, "Cool." So that's
Wow.
really awesome.
I mean, to me, I just think that's amazing because I just think that's just to me, that's just an amazing piece of equipment to be able to see, even if it is a stick, just to know that that is picking up them. I mean, a lot of times you'll see them up in the roofs and up in the ceilings, which I know that's the way they work. They're in the ceilings or they're wherever. They have no actual, they can go through space and time. But that's amazing, Becky. Wow. I would love to actually see that. Yeah, and yes, I would love for you to bring that here because just, it'd be fascinating to see if that we hadn't used that out here. So
Yeah, I will
that would
definitely bring that the next time. I'll have to
No.
make note to myself, but yeah, I will definitely do that because we can set it up in the cabin and see what we get.
I'll remember. I was going to
You're
have
like, don't forget.
They I'd like to talk about the little story about Eli and how you had come out here, but you never knew that I had a little dog named Eli, and I was
Right.
just, could you tell the story of what happened?
Yeah, it was really funny because we were out at your property, of course, and we were in the little cabin and we're just recording, and for some reason all your dogs like started barking like crazy. And so I made a comment, to the spirits. I said, "Could you do us a favor and go tell the dogs to be quiet?" And right after I had said that, we got the name Eli. And I thought that was really weird to get a name Eli after I'm saying that. And it wasn't till like a few days later, I saw you post on like Facebook that you had a dog named Eli. And I was like, oh my God, they were yelling at Eli to be quiet.
Right. I mean, what I mean that to me, that is just amazing that that happened, It's like And it is. It's Eli. He's always the one that you can't get him to stop barking
Yeah,
or sing. He loves to sing.
it's amazing because I will do, those, sessions, and when I listen to the EVPs, I'll mark what I'm hearing, and we only present things when at least two to three team members agree this is what it's saying, because otherwise it's not class A and we don't use it. But it's amazing how we will write things down and we're like, okay, like the Eli thing, that doesn't make sense, but we, there's four of us that say it's saying Eli. And we're like, we don't understand this. But then we present it and people are like, oh my God. And it like connects with something. Like we did one investigation at an antique store and I can't remember what it said, but it was some type of, phase, it was some like saying. And it didn't make sense to us, but when we played it to the owner, she goes, "Oh my God, I walk around and I say that all the time."
Wow.
And we were like, "Okay, that's amazing." To us, it didn't make sense, but to her, it made total sense because it's something that she would say all the time. So I love when we get those connections, like the Eli situation. That to me is like priceless, and I love that.
Yeah, it's like it makes it you called it something. Well, it's a familiar spirit. Is that a familiar? It just makes it to be a real, like they know exactly what was happening. The spirit know what is going on and who we are. And I just think I just love that. See, you were the one who helped bring that evidence. I mean, that's real. That is concrete evidence that nobody else, would have known, and it wouldn't have been able to be picked up anywhere else, but you guys were able to capture that. Hey, so on the going back to the documentary type, just that type of subject. When you're out, in different areas, so then this is about haunted land. This is about our area of haunted land. But I'm planning on doing, once this documentary is finished, I want to do another one. I already have ideas on for other areas. And so, can you talk about when you go on different locations around in Arizona about some of the things that you've learned about or experienced on, like, out in the land? Like, we're in the country. Have you experienced other places where you're out in the country, like on the lands where Native Americans were, and or different things of history, historical events?
Well, the thing about Tucson is we often get overlooked when it comes to our history and our haunts, to be honest with you. People don't really look at Tucson as being this way. They think, oh, let's go to Tombstone, let's go to Bisbee, which are great haunted locations, but Tucson has so much history and so many haunts that I honestly wouldn't be able to narrow it down to just, like one particular area. I mean, our Presidio dates back to 1775.
Exactly.
That's when, the Spanish government came in. It was actually an Irish man that, started it, though, Hugo O'Connor. And they built, the fort downtown. And, that ran there. But before 1775, we had, the Indians out here, a lot of Indian land out here. It's just so much history, so rich in history. Downtown, especially, is just one haunted area. And one thing that unfortunately Tucson is very known for is building on top of our cemeteries or moving bodies. They're very famous for that downtown. I can't tell you how many times they've either built on top of a cemetery or moved bodies to build downtown. And that creates a lot of, our haunts and, bringing the history to life, so to say.
That's going to be a little bit of part of what I plan on. I don't know if I probably won't make too many friends if I do things like that, but high places. But yes, especially here in Marana, I have been, we are like under this just insane construction, and people are just building houses and building stuff, and along the highways and along the places where bodies of Native American tribes and Native American culture is buried. And that's exactly what's occurring right now. Sadly to say, you'd think they'd have more, people would have more respect for that at this day and age, but I guess money talks.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the
If you
things I
have money.
was reading today, I'll see if you know about this culture. So the I was driving in Old Marana, and it said the it well definitely said Pueblo, and so I'm, Yolim Pueblo. So I thought, oh wait, that's that group. And so I looked it up, and I'm like, yeah, because I had researched that what was in Marana, and as I started to read it, I'm like, wow, okay, so this tribe only moved here. The very original ones happened only in the 1920s.
Yeah,
They
they're.
came from, yes, 1920. They came from a rev. They were having a revolution in Mexico, and they came here and kind of like became in. And so I'm like, wow, 1920. So we're talking 100 years ago. So I definitely want to reach out to them, but I'm like, okay, 100 years, but that's like a little piece of history, right? So you're talking 1800s, and I know that the 1700s was when one thing I want to talk about was with the when the priests came there at the what is the name of that big church there, the mission, San Javier, San Javier. Yeah, so now have you ever done a anything in that area? Because I know that's part of what I want to be talking about too, is that mission. Have you ever done that?
Unfortunately, not. We always get permission to do anything, which I don't want to say it's a drawback, but we're very respectful, so we want permission. But because of that, there's a lot of areas we haven't done because it's a lot of red tape, or people don't want to admit to the paranormal. sometimes it seems like the Indian land, they have their own beliefs, their own way of doing things. So I don't think we've ever done anything on any type of their property.
That's just interesting.
Just like you can't do a bank. They don't want you in the bank. I'm like, come on. I can't get to the vault.
Bank. Wow.
Well, there is a bank downtown that's supposedly haunted, and I would love to investigate it, but there's so much red tape and things like that, and there's just some buildings that just won't let you in, and some areas that just won't let you in, and I think it's sad, and it makes me want to cry, but I'm not going to go because of the fact that I want permission, and I want, you know, to respect everyone, so I don't go where I'm not wanted.
Right. And well, that's good. You're being very with integrity. Told you. My integrity. I was just talking with someone that's going to be in the documentary talking about this land. And she was mentioning how when she was at one point in her life was living in Tucson, and she talked a lot about the different areas, and she's very intuitive. And there was this particular house, and I'm drawing a blank on it right now, but I think I've heard of this house before, and they actually lived in it. And it was way, way, like, it was built a long time ago. It was a specific house. And do you happen to know of it, like any specific house that might've been on TV or that's haunted in Tucson? I know
a lot of haunted houses in Tucson, but there's a lot of historical places that, you know, are used as residents that, you know, could be it, but.
Yeah, gosh, it's just, I can't remember the name of it, but it was, I guess the man that, how the town of Oracle was actually created is what she said. It was like, this man was a captain of a ship, and in this particular house, he brought in this woodwork from this ship. And the house had that woodwork. So we're talking old, okay, right? And then he went over to Oracle, and the name of his ship was the Oracle. Uh-huh. So she knew all the history on it, but it was interesting because she would say, like, you'd go into the house, and it was kind of divided into half the house had, like, one side of bedrooms, and the other half of the house was you know, this other area where there was a father and a son. The father was on the right side of the house, and the son was on the left side of the house. And I'm talking spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They're ghosts. and they would be on and you could go in, and they live there. So you go in there, and that they would, it was specifically two different ghosts, and the house was just divided in half with what they would experience. Isn't that fascinating?
Oh yeah. That would definitely be something I would love to investigate.
Yeah. I'll find out what the name of that was, and I'll let you talk to her. I'll get you her name, and that way, you know, she has some really amazing stories to talk about that would just blow my mind. Wow. And so that's what I think is going to be fun, is just to kind of go and look at the other areas. Because you're right. Like Tombstone. Yes. Tombstone is very famous for that. But mm-hmm. there's a cemetery right close to us, Silver Bell Mine. And there's a Silver Bell Cemetery. I mean, it seems like it's very close on a map. But like Joe and I went out there and we filmed it, and we went to the graves. It was a long haul to get out there. It was definitely, you know, it was an adventure. That place is very haunted, very much, you know, the miners, they lived up there and they died there. The ranchers and all that. It's just very much, you know, haunted land for sure. Like crazy. Have you ever gone to that area?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Yeah. So, I know one thing I remember you did last year was you were at the movie studio. Well, one of the movie studios.
Yeah, Mescal Movie Set.
Yeah. What was that like? What experience?
I was working with them. I don't know if we're gonna, I'm hoping we do things again with them, but they've had a lot of like filming going on out there and a lot of remodels going on. That's definitely an interesting place. They had brought in a lot of stuff from Old Tucson, and I don't know if Old Tucson went in to admit or not that they're haunted, but they are. but Mescal was very interesting. We did get some responses there. Not as much as Old Tucson, but it used to be a part of Old Tucson. So Old Tucson used to own Old Tucson plus Mescal movie set. And a lot of the movies that people thought, oh, they filmed at Old Tucson, they actually filmed out at Mescal, like the movie Tombstone with Kurt Russell. A lot of that was actually filmed out at Mescal, not Old Tucson.
Yeah.
So I don't think a lot of people realize that. They just think Tombstone movie and they think Old Tucson, but they used Mescal movie set a lot for those movies. And they've been doing a lot of upgrades and stuff with it. And I hope to work with them again. I'm hoping that happens. We'll see. I'm also hoping to work with Old Tucson again. When they reopened, I had someone contact me, ask about our investigation there, and then they disappeared on me, and I've never heard back from them. So I don't know what's going on with that. I've tried contacting them a couple times since, so I don't know what's going on with that. But if Old Tucson wants to, I'm there. That one's frustrating though, because that one happened right before COVID, and we literally were going to start working with them. And then COVID hit, and it all just went bye-bye. And now it's new ownership. So
Well, I thought it was closed. I mean, I drive that way all the time, and I don't think it's open right now.
They open for certain things right now. It's not like a, open 7 days a week anymore. They did like nightfall, but I heard that it wasn't very good. And then they did like a Christmas thing that I heard was better. And now they're going to do like a Western show. But they're only going to open like 4 days a week or something. So I'm not really sure what they're doing. I don't know what they're aiming to do and all that stuff. Hopefully, it ends up being like it used to be. It used to be really cool. So we'll see.
Be cool. Well, that would be really neat. I think that would be a great thing for you to get to be involved with if you could have something. I'm sure it's very haunted there. I mean, I've been there many times and I can feel it, and I know that the old Western movie people, I mean, I'm sure they can like to go in the spirit, go back and visit there all the time, you know. Well,
Well, we could have sworn John Wayne was out there. That was one that we were like, we're thinking John Wayne's out here. But I mean, we can't prove it because we never got proof. But it was like one of those things that we wondered because anytime we mentioned his name, things seemed to happen. So it was either him or someone that was a huge fan of his.
Yeah, it
But
could
a
be
lot
either.
of people don't know John Wayne was actually on the board of directors there and he had like an apartment there and everything.
I and you know what? Also, I had lived when I one of the places I lived was up in the mountain in the stone houses, and that would be like as you go over that Gates Pass, and so these little casitas were. Back in the day, the lady owned them, that she owned them, the movie stars, that's where the movie stars would all go to these, it was like a little hideaway. And so as when that lady died, her daughters took over, and these little casitas are, which are still there, all in stone, they became like a hippie, like hippies were there. And so then the that are there now, you know, it's just like you can go, and I lived there. I lived in three different ones. And but in those places, they, you know, the history there is incredible. Like that John Wayne, there's a pool there, and they would live there. So he would stay there, and all kinds of movie stars would go there. And right across the street was this restaurant. It's an Italian restaurant. And so back in those days, that was the only thing there. I mean, there was no houses, there was no people. This was a. Now, of course, there's houses and people, but it's not, you know, it's not a lot. There's a restaurant there. I bet you could probably just go stand. It's abandoned. I mean, this restaurant, if you've ever driven up that way, it's definitely no, no one's there, but it's this old building. And I had lived Right behind that, I lived a lot of different places, but I was living on this millionaire guy's property, but I was living in his casita. And so it was, and it's literally, you could walk to this restaurant or walk to the other one because there was this little area I was trying to stay in, you know, and just live there in these casitas made of stone. And literally, I kept telling him, like, there's something really bad here. There's just like the dogs were getting sick, and I had a shaman come out there too. But he told me, he goes, yeah, well, you know, there's been a lot of murders here. And I'm
Oh,
like,
wow.
what? I mean, I seem to find places where there's murder. I find that done. Isn't that interesting? Like, I'm like, that was my first time to like be involved in this place that had a bunch of murders. Well, there was like a guy got shot right there. They've apparently find dead bodies all the time, still being dumped in that area. And
Oh
this
my
is, I'm talking,
goodness.
yeah, the people just drop them off because there's nobody over there. And plus the mafia would come there to this Italian restaurant at that particular time, and that was the mafia. And so people were always being killed. And that is that location. And literally, you could probably stand there, you for sure, and right up that thing, and they'll probably all talk to you because I'll have to find, I can't remember quite the name of it, but I'm there all the time. Like Friday when I go to work, I drive that way, it's right there. And I'm going to tell you the location. I'll do that off. But I think you would, I'm sure you would definitely find some very fascinating information on that area if you'd like to check that location. I don't think you have to have permission.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, these are, and you know what? It could bring closure or help these people because they're obviously, you know, just a lot of murdered people that are still there, and
Right.
really kind of sad. Anyway, so well, what would you like to do with it? What do you think's your most? What's your what would you What is your dream for what you could do with your company? What's like something you would love to do? What's your most favorite thing you'd love to do with your company?
Make money? No. Oh. I'm sure my husband would like that instead of pouring money into it all the time if I actually made money. Well, it's like that would be awesome. but in all reality, well, I never charge for investigations though. I would never ever do that. But the company part, yeah, that would be great for a company to actually earn money.
Yes.
but for, you know, in all reality, I want to be the go-to. I want to be the go-to person for all this stuff. I want to be the one that is like, you know what? Becky is the one you should call. Becky's the one that's trusted. You know, she knows her stuff. You know, I want to be respected in that way to where people will come to me with all this. That's what I would love.
Well, there you go. That doesn't sound too hard to do. Manifest that.
Hopefully, I don't know. I still have people, you know, that don't really like me. So
Oh, no, because you told me that when, you know, like you're professional. So, I mean, some people in the personal stuff, I mean, they don't, you know, that's not your, you know, a lot of personal things can cause people not like you, but so not you, but you know what I mean? But you know, remember you said that when the Dead Files came to town, that even when I didn't know you then, but they reached out to you when they came into town, and I guess they'd done that another time. So the ghost hunter people, they know you. So these people, they have res high respect for you, and they, you know, to me, that looks like I think you're their go-to girl.
I wish, but I mean, I've talked to a lot of these, you know, paranormal celebrities, and I've interviewed them or I've met them and things like that. And you know, I just, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, I like I said, I think it's just to be respected and, you know, to people say, hey, you know, Becky knows her stuff. You know, I'm not an expert, but, you know, I would love for people to say, you know, she has a good grounded, you know, foundation and knows what she's doing.
Okay, well, I'm going to say it. Okay, Becky is not an expert, but I think she is. And I realize that an expert means that you never have to study or learn again, really. So in a way, but you, I believe that we're always, and Truth Seeker was talking about that the other day. Like once you become an expert or think you're an expert, then all of a sudden you almost are not in studying or learning. So I can understand that. But I think, you know, I will just say it right now to the whole world that you are definitely the go-to stand-up person here for the paranormal in all of Arizona.
Aw.
There you go. If you are coming to Arizona and you want to know about the paranormal and want to go and be in a ghost hunt, or, you know, I really think there was one more thing I missed. There's ghost hunting, and then you're going to do something else other than the walking tours. But what was the other part of it?
I'm going to start doing more special events. So working with other companies, and I might start doing some classes. That's in discussion too. So I don't want to like say for sure. Yeah. I'm in discussion on doing some other things right now, and it's not finalized, but I'm hoping, like I said, I have support. I have some people that are like, we think you should do this, and you know, you'd be really good at this, and people will come, and da 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 da. So they're like trying to get me to do some other things. So we'll see what kind of happens with that.
Yes, it's like that Kevin Costner movie, build it and they will come.
Well, maybe
I think it's great. Well, I'm just so excited that you got to be on this show tonight to talk about all this and all the other things with me tonight. And is there anything else that you would like to say before we close the show? Anything else you would like to talk about or tell us about?
To stay tuned, because I'm hoping that new and exciting things will be happening soon. Keeping okay, my fingers crossed.
Yay. So there you go. So when they do start happening, maybe like in about 6 weeks, I'm saying that's going to be your timeline. In 6 weeks, you'll have all of this stuff known and you'll know exactly what to do and what you're doing. That sounds right, huh? 6 weeks will be great.
Yeah, it's so funny because that would put me in March, and I've been told that in March a lot is going to open up for me. So we'll see. You know, I'm having psychics, and I've been having other people, like people that channel things and stuff. I'll say come March, I'm going to come into like a full ability, and I'm going to have all this together. So fingers crossed.
Hey, see, I'm right then.
Let's hope. Either okay. That or I'll be pulling my hair out by then, one or the other.
and what? No, I think you're moving forward. It feels to me like your energy is moving forward. I feel like it. I definitely feel like I feel like that for you for sure. That's awesome. So can you tell us
a lot of soul searching and a lot right. of kind of like self-help and mental health and coming to terms with a lot of things. So yeah, I'm hoping that I am finally moving forward in a direction that I like.
You know, everything happens for a reason. And so like getting onto this path and, you know, letting some things go and then moving on, then that's, you know, that's what you're doing. And luckily, you know, you're a very smart person. You're caring and loving and kind, and everything's going to be just fine. Everything's going to work out, and you're going to have all your dreams come true, and money will come too.
That would make my husband happy.
I know. I think what happened with us was funny, because I'm like, you know, there was a right before that stupid pandemic.
Yeah.
I think my career and everything was just like boom, flowing, and so was yours. And I didn't. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom. Well, no, you cannot go to work anymore with people.
I got so frustrated with that, because literally before everything got shut down, I had so much lined up, and I finally, you know, was like, finally, I got it all. I, you know, I'm where I want to be. And then everything just boom, disappeared. And then I had to start back at square one, and it was so frustrating.
I totally hear you. But you know what? Look what's happening now. We've made it past that, and you're doing your thing. I'm actually doing great on my thing again. So, I mean, we made it out of it. And hopefully everybody else, that survived is, making it out and moving forward too. We can only hope for that. I guess I'll go ahead and just say, oh, one more thing. What is the time that you normally have your show on so people can know that one more time that they could listen to you on this network?
8 p.m. AZ Mountain Time and 10 p.m. Eastern on Thursday nights.
Thursday night, and that's every other.
For now, yeah, we might go weekly. I'm kind of in a discussion with my team on how to move forward with the show because we might kind of change it up a little bit, but we'll see.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I look forward to learning more on that. And I always like to say thank you to Stan Fikes, our producer, and his wonderful wife, Teresa. Hello, if you're out there listening, Teresa. I
Yeah,
think it's
they're
really
great.
late over there. And I really am really so excited to be on this, this platform, and I know that I got introduced to it from you. So I really am always very full of gratitude for you for having me on your show that one time, because that just inspired me to eventually reach out and talk to Stan. So it's really been a wonderful experience.
Well,
So
I'm glad
it,
everything worked out.
it's so interesting. I feel like I'm just having a phone conversation with you. Not so much on a radio or on the media.
It's
This
just
has
old
been,
friends talking.
it is. That'd be a good name for a show, Old Friends Talking. Well, anyway, we have to wrap it up, and I do want to say thank you so much for being on, Becky.
Of course, anytime.
Really appreciate it. And thank you all that are listening, and be sure to reach out and go to Becky's go to Becky's Facebook and look at that, and you'll be able to find everything else on YouTube too when I run this on my YouTube. So be sure to like and share this recording, these shows, and go and talk, go meet with us on the Facebook and chat with us and communicate that you saw or heard these shows that we're doing. And I know I would appreciate that, and I'm sure Becky would too,
Yeah,
to
of
be
course.
able to communicate with those that are listening. And because I know that we're listening, audience is all over the planet
It
somewhere.
makes me know that we're not talking to thin air.
It's kind of fun knowing there's people out there really listening. I really get a kick out of that. So come on, talk, chat with us. Let us know. So it's really, really kind of a fun thing. Okay, well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening to the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show. God bless. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show, streaming live on Spreaker and the Web Radio Network. This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show. You can find me on Facebook and YouTube. Please enjoy my music.
Every time that I've ever been knocked down, every time that I've ever gotten back up to face another round, I let go of my fear and put my pride down. I'm building my castle in heaven, climbing over mountains for the lessons I've been given. I'm building my castle in heaven. My castle is not made of mortar. Every challenge, every mistake, every time that I choose faith, I grow strong. I keep moving on and on and on. And I'm building my castle in heaven. I'm climbing over mountains of lessons I've been given. I'm building my castle in heaven. My castle is not made of mortar or stone. My castle is made from the seeds that I've sown. I'm building castles in heaven. step along your way. Every time that you make a mistake. Every good deed that you do, each time that you win, each time that you lose, each time that you walk, you walk in another's shoes. For it is on this earth where we grow strong, when we learn to forgive and we right our wrongs. It's here.